welcome to the Blind Handyman Show. I'm Tom Houston. No, I'm not Tom Houston. That's the problem.
Tom's not here.
Tom is not here.
I've looked all over for him. He's not here.
Maybe he's got his camouflage suit on or something, and he's just not showing. Maybe he
didn't make show number 50.
Maybe you can't see him.
I have to get a sighted guy in here
to fill him
down.
Anyway, I'm Phil Parr, along with me, Don Shaw and Don Patterson. Two Dons in the field today. That's all you got, gentlemen. Good to have you with us, man. Tommy had some emergencies that can only be solved by Watkins salve.
Watkins black salve and a grandpa.
Yeah. Grandpa and a Watkins black salve can solve that baby's problems. Tom had a grandkid issue today, and grandkids come before handyman shows, always. In any society worth a damn, grandkids come before handyman shows.
I can't imagine that.
Anyway, his grandbaby needed to go to the dock, and daughter's car was inadequate or I don't know where it was. Anyway, she's probably down at the church. Oh, excuse me. Anyway, she...
You never know.
She couldn't go, so he took his grandchild to the doctor, and he's going to miss a nice session.
First show.
First show he's ever missed.
First show, man.
Made all 50 shows. And this is show 50.
It is. Number 50. What's that? What you did not do? The date, the time.
I didn't start the stopwatch.
Uh-huh.
So we're going to figure, what are we going to figure? The theme is over.
When we hear the clock strike four.
I can give you.
Wait a minute. I've got the, that's right. I set the start the theme now, you idiot, alarm, didn't I?
I think you did.
Yeah.
I know. I set
that. You said
that.
You did. Yep.
Well, I did that, so if I did that, then it'll go off at 3:50.
Yes, it will.
3:50 or 4:10. I'll go off. Okay. No, the theme is 2 minutes and 40 seconds long. So if I started at 3:56, it'll come out at 58:40, which is just about right.
Just about close enough.
Everything just right. The only thing is, I was about 4 minutes behind starting my watch here, right?
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute. We start exactly at 3, so what's the point? I'm going to stop the watch. I don't need it.
You don't need it.
No, I don't need it. Well, I'm glad we figured it out.
It'll all work out by and by, won't it? Setting these talking watches.
We don't care. It doesn't make any difference.
That 304.
You know, it's amazing how many blind people don't use that talking watch. I thought when I found it was the greatest thing in the world.
Isn't it amazing?
But there's most of the people I talk to on Blind Like Me don't like them, don't use them.
That's amazing.
Because they go to meetings and stuff, you know?
Yeah, they're kind of intrusive.
They are a little bit intrusive.
Yeah, still use the Braille, the old Braille watch, which is still made. It's kind of amazing in these days and times they still make the old Braille watch that the lid always comes off of.
I snapped the lid off in about 4 days. You know. But, you know, it would be nice if somebody made the combo watch that you could either lift the lid or it would talk to you.
Yeah, the combo model would be.
Combo watch. So we'll get some email on that. Somebody will know something about that. Well, let's see. What else is going on, Don?
This won't take long. Just a little tip that I'd read on a list that I thought was really, really good. If you do a little furniture refinishing or staining.
Yeah, like our guy last week.
Yeah, varnishing or something. You know, one of the things you need to do between coats is rub over the piece of furniture with a light steel wool, mm-hmm. just to smooth everything down good. And one of the problems with using steel wool is, on anything, or even for cleaning something, if you had a wrought iron fence, would be another example that you were cleaning, or just anything that you were cleaning. Something inside that you were cleaning that you needed to get the bits of steel wool off of whatever. That's the one drawback, I guess, about steel wool is just leaving all the little pieces.
Yeah.
One idea that I read on the list today that was just really, I thought was excellent, was to take, remember the old tape erasers that you push the button on to erase the tape? And that was an electromagnet is actually what it was.
I have three or four of them.
Anyway, you take that and push the button, turn it on, and put it over whatever you're trying to get the little steel wool pieces off of. And they say, man, it just draws them right into the magnet.
So I guess you could still buy those at Radio Shack. So you used to have a hand one. I've got two hand ones and a big, great big one.
The hand one, I think, is the one they were specifically talking about, though.
Yeah,
pick up those little pieces of steel wool or just little bits of any kind of steel, metal,
I never thought about that.
I didn't either. I never thought about it. So
it would just, because the tape, the way it did it, is it realigned all the molecules on the tape. I mean, it was just a strong electromagnet.
Like a giant electromagnet.
That's exactly what it was. And it would just erase everything on the tape.
And remember the old watches during the old day? People used to always say, don't put it by an electromagnet because it'll screw up your watch.
Would it?
And I guess it would. Back in the old days, it would have. But
Pat?
Yes, sir.
Do you remember as children this giant electromagnet we had? My mother said, so much noise for such a little boy.
Yeah, I remember it.
We had this big thing. It was about 2 feet square. It was a huge electromagnet. Whoa. I don't know where the hell we got it.
Really?
But we put things on it, it would make a great noise.
Yeah.
My mother, so much noise for such a little boy.
She probably sold it in a garage sale or something.
Oh, I'm sure after we went back to the blind school, she took it away, got rid of it.
No telling.
So y'all messed with that a lot, just picking up things.
All summer,
nails.
Just putting things on it and making noise.
Yeah.
Anything to incur the wrath of the adults was, I think, was the whole
deal, man.
Yeah, the electromagnet. That's good. And those were like 1995 at Radio Shack. If they still sell those things. A lot of people still use cassette. I mean, cassette tapes are still used to some degree.
Oh, sure.
So they were good for erasing cassettes. I've got a little deal that a guy gave me from National Cash Register that you just slide the cassette through and it erases it. Just a little
like weird. A barcode on a...
Yeah, just slide it. Man, this is
pretty cool.
I bought one of the... And I'm not sure where I bought mine or exactly how it worked, but it seemed like you could put the cassette... in. Anyway, I bought it to erase little 8mm video camera movies, and it didn't do that well on the videos.
Really?
It did, it would work great on audio, but...
But on the videos, it didn't do well.
I mean, it would screw up the picture, but it wouldn't necessarily clean them up.
Yeah. What a deal, man.
I'm wondering if you put a hard drive on one of those demagnetizers, would it zip it?
I wonder if it would.
I have no idea.
Well, I mean, is that magnetic, or how is that done?
I think it could be.
Yeah, they warn you about getting floppy disks and everything around.
I've heard that about floppy disks.
So that would be magnetic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Right. Well, I hate this. I don't want to miss any more shows. I hate it.
Are we going to... Do we have any email, Tom?
Oh, speaking of email, Tom, where is Tom? Tom!
I've looked all over for him.
Tom, get in here.
Okay, guys, this was taken from the group page, something Don and I felt like was interesting, from John Mattioli. I hope I'm saying his name right. The subject being the new house is here. It reads, greetings. Just thought I'd let everyone know that my wife and I are now officially homeowners. I've been a condo owner before, but this is already proving to be very different. For example, number one, moving when you're single is a little annoying. Moving when you're married is hard because you've got to agree upon where everything is going and when and how things will get done. Now, moving when you're married with a 2-year-old is hell because whatever you and your wife have agreed upon, the child feels differently. Number two, my parents came up to help with the move. My father and I loaded a truck twice and moved about half our boxes. Yes, my wife and I have loads of stuff. Then the movers came on Saturday and brought everything else over from the old place. My dad, who worked construction all of his life, but who isn't much help when it comes to helping me figure out how to do things, kept up an amazing pace. We've got a closet full of shelves and a whole lot of other minor repair work already done. Number three, home inspections are critical. We saved about $5,000 on our house because of the inspection. Nevertheless, two very interesting discoveries were made by my dad, the carpenter, concrete man, general contractor, and otherwise very experienced building guy. A, there's no vent in the basement for the clothes dryer. Putting one in requires drilling your typical 4-inch hole through the concrete foundation. I don't expect my little cordless drill to manage that job. B, the pressure release valve on my furnace is mounted directly above the electrical box that feeds the furnace, so I can either die in a furnace explosion or an electrical fire. Isn't that exciting? Now, this isn't too bad, though, since my dad tells me there's no question the furnace is undersized, not updated when the new addition was built, and will be cold this winter if we don't replace it. Number four, on the subject of the hot tub, which I mentioned on the list a week or two ago, my wife and I have now used it twice in the 3 nights we've been here. It's very nice. My wife tried testing a friend's pool with those strips that change color. They actually test three things, not just pH. She was able to do it, so we'll probably do things that way. Unfortunately, it's Labor Day weekend, and we're unlikely to find and get ourselves over to a pool supply place within the next couple of days. Five, also need some electrical outlets installed. I've been following the discussion on this list regarding electrical stuff, and it sounds like it isn't a terribly blind-friendly thing to do unless you've got someone telling you the colors of all the wires. Even so, what I actually need is a new circuit breaker added to my box. Sounds like a job for an electrician to me. Six, add to this the need for a new roof, and although we've only been here a few days, we're already planning to spend loads of cash. I'm hoping to get more into this handyman thing, but I'm not sure I should start by knocking 4-inch holes in my foundation, playing with my circuit breakers, or re-roofing my house. So there's the update. This from John Mattioli.
Which is a wonderful email. First of all, yes, moving when you're married is much different than moving when you're not married, John.
Yeah.
You've learned that. Mama has some say in where things go. And the best thing to do is just, when she decides where something goes, put it there.
Right there.
Very seldom can you talk them out of things. What did the guy said? He married Ms. Wright. He didn't know her first name was Always.
Yeah. No kidding.
That kind of stuff. But, if you put a new circuit breaker in your breaker box, you need to run some wire to it.
Yep.
So, I mean, putting a new circuit breaker in isn't going to help any, unless you've got a worn-out circuit breaker. Then they're easy to replace. They just pull out. I mean, you just pull them straight out. They come away from the box. You tie the wire onto them and go to the hardware store, get the one you want, and tie the wire to it and push it back in.
Yeah.
And it just slips right in and out. Chances are there is a big main breaker ahead of that that you can cut off if you're a little fearful, and I would be.
Boy, I'd cut the main breaker.
Yeah, you would want to do that. And then, of course, if you're, depending on if it's already an existing home, you're going to have trouble getting the wires in the wall, or I don't know where his breaker's mounted, but...
Yeah, how you get the wire in.
My main concern about this whole email is this inspector.
What did he mean? We need some clarification. Maybe we can have him as a guest next week, John.
Well, yeah.
Be a good fine idea. A new homeowner to have as a guest would be good.
Did you have it inspected? And
he did say they had an inspection, and then this is all the things that they didn't cover. And I'm wondering, the inspector, of course, if he borrowed money on the house, obviously the inspector worked for the lender, but they should have been more forthright than that. I know that inspectors can make mistakes because we had that same problem in the house that I'm selling. And the buyer furnished the inspector, and in a couple of cases the inspector was wrong, not overlook something. I mean, he was wrong. In this case, it sounds like that the inspector let a couple of things slide, and I can't imagine if he was working for the lender that he did that.
Well, we know, you can buy houses as are.
Yeah.
What Mr. Shaw bought my Norris Street house. You bought my Norris Street house as is, it needed lots of repairs.
That's an option.
And we knew that it needed the repairs, and you agreed with the bank that you would make the repairs.
Would do the repair. And it could be the same deal.
Nevertheless, the bank wouldn't have loaned more money on it than
it was worth.
Well, that's true. Worth,
but he might have got a good deal. Could have been a fixer-upper house, got a good deal on it.
He said he saved $5,000, but I'll guarantee you'll see that savings disappear
quickly.
The
roof,
man,
suck down that money, man.
And as concerns the dryer vent, I just wouldn't worry about it. If it's got a filter in it, I just wouldn't worry about it. Let it heat the basement a little bit. When it's just hot air.
Yeah, if it's in the basement, it would be... the humidity might be there. That's the only thing. Boy, we had a dryer in a garage.
That's true.
Before, and man, the humidity was just like 150% out there after you ran a load through.
Yeah, I bit the bullet on mine, and I can relate to what he's talking about, drilling through the foundation, because my garage is below ground, in a sense, the sides, and I got lucky though, because the garage only sits like 3 feet down, and so through above your plate you could get outside easily. But drilling through, I mean, it would be at least a foot or 15 or 18 inch thick concrete And I'd say rots a ruck. I think I would. I don't know if he could. You know, in the newer houses now, they vent even in the dryer vent doesn't necessarily have to go out where the dryer is. In the newer houses, they're putting vents up in attics.
Run a long vent. Yeah.
Up in attics and then out.
Until you get a little pinhole in the hose, that might be cool.
So I'm wondering if you couldn't run this up a wall and then go out where there's wood, because if it was 20 feet long, it really wouldn't make any difference how long it was.
Yeah, that's right.
Really
and besides that, drilling through concrete means you have an excuse to buy a compressor, a couple $100 at Lowe's.
Yeah.
You have an excuse to buy some sort of a masonry saw.
Yeah.
See, all the tools that you get to buy because you have to do this. You could probably have it done for $140. It'll cost you about, $300 to buy the tools.
For the tools.
But then you'll have the tools.
Guarantee you, though, even if given the option of having the tools, when I built my deck, I was trying to drill a hole probably for a 3/4-inch stud bolt to go in there, and I could not do it. So if it was a matter of paying somebody to do it.
Well, Don, if you had my air compressor and my drill, you could have.
Pneumatic drill?
Yes.
Just one real quick thing before we get away from this. You know how we've talked about before, blind folks sometimes just don't know what's available.
That's it.
Well, someone sent something to the list that was real good talking about these dryer vents. They said a temporary fix. Now, this is only temporary. Would be that you can buy this thing at the hardware store that you run your dryer vent hose down into, and you put water in this thing.
Okay.
And it's just like a temporary, and you could vent your dryer into that for a while.
Hmm.
It would just be to get you by until you could do something, but that might be an option.
But see, you'd have to know, is there a plate on the bottom of the wall? How thick are the walls? But surely this house is not all concrete or all brick. If it is, you're in trouble, but there's got to be a window. There's got to be a way to get out of that basement other than going through concrete. If there isn't, Lowe's sell you a nice compressor and a masonry saw. Well, why don't we take a little break, and we'll do get our guest on the phone. Our guest is who today, Donald Shaw?
Bob Stouffer.
Bob Stouffer. Been eating his frozen dinners for years.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're going to talk about air conditioning and how to fix your air conditioner and those kinds of things. So I'll tell you.
For the heating season.
Yeah, so we'll be back with more of the Blind Handyman in just a second, all right?
Confidential Investigator.
Old Venture.
Box 13.
Captain Midnight.
The Cavalcade of America.
Chandu. The Magician.
The Incomparable Charlie Chan.
The Cisco Kid.
Dangerous Assignment.
Dimension X. Dragnet.
If you love old-time radio, point your browser to
www.otrcat.com.
You'll find thousands of old-time radio shows just waiting for you, and the price is right.
That's www.otrcat.com.
From Amos and Andy to X-1, this is The Source.
www.otrcat.com.
The Blind Handyman. Blind Handyman, all lowercase, one word, at hotmail.com. That's Blind Handyman at hotmail.com.
Contact information.
Blind like me. Blind like me, lowercase, all one word, at txucom.net. That's Blind like me at txucom.net.
Contact information.
Blind Handyman listserv. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind Handyman at hotmail.com. Blind like me at txucom.net. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
Let's see. I don't have my mic. Is my mic on now?
Yeah.
I
hear you.
I don't care for this at all. It's no fun.
A little different, isn't it?
Let's see. I have Shaw there.
Yes. Hello, 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 hello.
Why are you only on one side? I have no idea.
Hello, hello.
I don't even know. I don't know what's going on.
Tom, come back. We need you back, Tom.
Yes, Tom, we do. We need you very badly.
Oh, are we back? I didn't hear it. Now, here's more of the Blind Handyman Show.
Oh, I don't have that ready.
Is it sort of the budget?
This is a budget engineer. Phil Parr,
Blind Handyman Light.
It's your budget
Light edition.
Budget engineer Phil Parr here. Now I've got Shaw only panned to one side for some
reason. Hello, 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 hello.
That's better. All right, let's see if I can get the phone up. How do you do that? Let's see.
All right. Let's see what happens.
Are you
here.
There? What's this guy's? Hello,
Bob.
There. Bob.
Robert.
Yes.
Bob, can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Bob, our engineer is not here today, and this is Phil Parr, and I'm running the board, and I don't really know how. So
hey, you're doing a good job so far.
So if something explodes in your ear, just go, well, you know, it's the way it is.
The way it works. What the hell?
How are you?
Not too bad. Yourself?
Good. We're doing fine, other than a couple of blind guys stumbling around the studio here trying to keep everything going. You're in where now? What part of the country?
Pennsylvania. About 50 miles north of Harrisburg. It's dead center in the state.
Dead center of the state. So
right. It's
nice and cool up there, right?
Well, right now it's about 72 and a little bit on the rainy side again still.
Yeah. Well, you aren't much different than us. That's about... It's pretty much exactly where we are. We're at about 82 in a little bit of rain. So,
yep.
Are you? What is your visual acuity? How well do you see?
I see just what I look at.
Just what you and you have to look directly at something to see it.
Yes, but I don't see anything else to the side. If I try and look at something, I have to kind of scan back and forth with my hands and with my eyes in order to find something, because if I lay it down, I cannot find it.
No field of vision, then.
So I have to look exactly at it, and then it takes me a while for it to register as to what it is.
Uh-huh.
And once I start moving again, then I see nothing until I stop moving again, and then I try and find something, and just you look here, and then you look there, and you look there, and you keep looking at in every little spot, inch apart, until you find what you want.
Yeah, what a deal, man!
I think we're all in the same, not exactly the same boat, but pretty close to the same. I'm a total. Don Shaw sees a little bit, and our boy Don Patterson here is fixing to talking about getting this ocular system of driving and becoming. Well, we'll have somebody else to take it across the river to get beer. That'll be good, won't it?
Yeah, I don't know about all that, man.
That'll be a help.
You go first, Phil.
So, well, I'll
let you try it first.
I'm going to ride with him. He's fine. I figure he'll do fine. Anyway, do you still work, or are you retired or what?
I have kind of retired, but I tinker around. I help people out when they need things. I have people that call me up on a regular basis yet, and I try and walk them through things.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they were a long-time customer or something, they have a question or a problem or whatever you may have or something new. I have customers that.
Well, what do you mean by customers? What did you do before? Tell us about your eye problem. When did you lose your eyes? You weren't born like this, right?
Well, that's debatable. I haven't. The foggiest idea as to what was going on. I had owned my own business for a number of years.
So what kind of business was that?
I did the central air conditioning and heating and refrigeration.
Ah. Uh-huh.
So that's where the customers come in. So you got, yeah, okay.
And then I got to the point where something had bothered me, and I didn't know what it was, and I could never put my finger on it. So I gave up my refrigeration portion of the business and just concentrated on heating and air conditioning and ventilation.
Uh-huh.
And then about a year or two after that, all of a sudden I'm having, you know, a lot more problems. And I'm saying, there's something going on, and I'm not quite sure what it is. And I had maybe a sneaky suspicion that maybe I was losing my vision, but I didn't know yet.
Uh-huh.
So it got to the point where I could not trust working in commercial applications due to people being all over the place that I could not keep track of. I did, you know, I couldn't remember where they were all the time. They're moving around. Okay, so we have to give up all the commercial stuff.
Okay.
And downsized to where I only did domestic heating and air conditioning.
Okay.
And then about a year after that happened, then all of a sudden I would lay stuff down and I couldn't find it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I went through a rash of near accidents driving. And I said, now there's something wrong here. I don't see.
You had not at that point been to an eye doctor?
No.
Wow, my heavens.
So then it got to the point where I was afraid to drive.
Oh, yeah.
So I called up the eye doctor and said, hey, I said, I need to have my eyes checked. Was there something wrong? I said, I just don't see anything. Or it seems I don't see anything.
Yeah.
Sure enough, you didn't.
So they had given me an eye test then for field of vision because I tried to tell them, you know, what was going on.
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, there's something wrong with this test. It's not registering. Well, we'll give you the test the second time. Well, it turned out that I had about 11% left.
11% vision left.
And then I said, you know, you shouldn't be driving.
Yeah.
And I said,
really?
I know that, but I don't know why.
But it went so gradually that you never were, you knew something was wrong, but you didn't know what.
Well, at the very end, and it really went fast. About the time I started my eyes checked was when I really had an exceptional loss. Then I knew for a fact that I was going blind.
Then it was obvious. Yeah. Something.
And then I had to tell my family that I was going blind, or I suspected I was going blind, and that was probably about 2 weeks before I actually had the test.
Uh-huh.
And they said, well, you are losing your vision. And then about 2 weeks later, I went to see a specialist. He said, yes, you are going blind. You have RP. He said, you know you shouldn't be driving. He said, how did you get here today? I said, I drove.
Oh, man.
With 11% vision, you drove.
Yep.
That's wild.
That is.
So when you didn't kill yourself or somebody else, man.
Well, I started lining up all my work in places I had to go so I can make right turns off the road. If I had to go across main intersections or cross to the other side on the left side, I would not make a left turn. I would make a right, come around, go to a red light or whatever you have, and cross at an intersection so I could go straight across and have the right of way. I could no longer look to the sides and see any traffic. So it really made it difficult, and it got to the point where that's the point at that time is when I decided, hey, there's something really bad going on here, and I've got to see a doctor.
That's one of the best stories I've heard. Is a guy driving with 11% vision, man. That's something.
Don Patterson? That should.
Don has a lot more than 11%, don't you, Pat?
Yeah, mine, I don't know, you know, distance-wise, but, I mean, I can see he's sort of restricted, like maybe
his field of vision is real restricted. So.
But you've, I guess, now how long ago did this happen to you, sir?
That was almost 2 years ago now.
So you figured out now that there are a lot of things you can do without eyesight, right?
Oh, there's an exceptional expanse of things a person can do.
Oh, sure.
If you're willing to attempt.
That's right.
No doubt about it.
If you got the nerve, it is a real severe handicap, but it's not. It's an inconvenience rather, not a handicap. You can do.
You can still survive and do a lot of things.
You can't read your gauges anymore, can you?
Yes, but you know the one thing that I had always thought of, and that years ago before I even realized what was going on,
mm-hmm.
I had dealt with people that were considered handicapped.
Uh-huh.
And the only reason people are handicapped is that the people around them are making them handicapped.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it's so sad, and now I find myself to be in the same position, and I find myself fighting as kind of almost being an advocate for, hey, don't make us disabled. We have a problem, but we can work around it.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
It's sad.
Well, you have to be that advocate. You have to do that. You have to bring people along to kind of let them know what you can and can't do. We were kind of interested since we're stumbling into winter. In most places, it's already started getting cool and will be everywhere within a month or so. And you did refrigeration or air conditioning repair or maintenance, put in installed systems all your life.
Furnaces
and things of that nature. Tell us about what we should do to prepare for the onslaught of winter.
Okay, now this year is going to be a little backwards because you should do your furnace cleaning in the spring when your system is going off for the season.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
That's good to know.
It is.
The reason for that, If it sets, especially if you do not have air conditioning, you will have the acids and stuff have been produced and are kind of dormant as long as you're in a heating mode. And the system shuts down, the moisture gets drawn into it, the moisture reacts with the steel and the acids, producing a kind of an active acid. Uh-huh. The moisture actually mixes with the byproducts of combustion and produce the acid. And they start destroying everything, so you should have it cleaned at the end of the season. Once you go into heating season, hey, as soon as you fire up your heating system, it gets rid of the moisture, there is no longer a reaction with the acid.
Uh-huh. Now, Bob, are we talking about any particular kind of furnaces, like natural gas or oil furnaces?
This will apply to all of them, especially with the changes in efficiency.
Okay.
Years ago, when you had furnaces that burned at 800, 1,000 degrees, your flue temperatures were 800, you know, degrees or something, you never needed a draft. They burnt so hot that if your house was tight, it didn't really matter. It would suck the air right through the walls almost, because the flue was so hot it created its own draft.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So now they mandated all this information on higher efficiencies and stuff. Now what they've done is they've reversed the flow on a number of furnaces so that the flue has to go down as it cools off. It's entering the colder air coming in, so you can extract more heat, is one of the ways they're getting a higher efficiency. So instead of having a flue which was running at 800 degrees, now you have flues on that are 500 degrees, 300 degrees. Some of them are only like 150 degrees or less.
Mm-hmm. Man.
Now, there is no longer enough heat to create its own draft. So now your newer furnaces and higher efficiency furnaces have an inducer. They have to create a flow for combustion exhaust.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have to have a lot of times a vent for air to come in. So now you have your birds and stuff that like to make nests on these little pipes sometimes, or bugs want to make a nest. Come fall, before you really want to fire up, you want to cycle your furnace to make sure that the combustion air does flow. There's a safety switch inside that if there's no airflow, it won't be allowed to fire up properly.
It'll shut itself down.
Yes.
Okay.
So when you perform these inspections or you get ready to clean a unit, is this a one man like in your company, or did you do it? How long does it take you to do a furnace and kind of what do you do?
An inspection.
Yeah.
On an older furnace, you want to actually open a chamber. In rural sections, you have more oil heat furnaces, or you have propane. If you live in a more urban area, I would have to say the majority is gas or electric.
Yeah.
Now, electric, you don't have to do any cleaning. Basically, you want to make sure you have your filters clean, which that's across the board.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now, recently, there was a party that had gotten a home. And I get calls from new homeowners from time to time. I say, there's something wrong with our heating system. I say, well, why is this? Well, our bills were terrible. They never said, you know, we never even thought that they would be this high.
Yeah.
And the first thing I ask them is, well, did you check your filters? Oh, do we have those?
Do we have filters? Yes.
You should have filters somewhere, and chances are they are completely blocked. Well, we don't know where they are. Can you come and show us where they are? And then you go hunt, and you find out the filters have a carpet of lint and fuzz and dirt completely closed.
Whoa.
And you pull it out, and where their heating bill might have been $100 or $150 for a month, they end up with a $450, $500, $600 bill for a month, and they die. You know, when they see that bill coming, they just, hey, there's something wrong. Hey, you're right.
This heat's running all the time because it can't get any air.
But it produces an extra hot. When you're producing heat and you don't have your air going across, you make hotter air.
Yeah.
But as you increase your heat, you also increase your losses, which is one of the ways they have increased the efficiencies on the newer furnaces. Years ago, everybody had at least 125,000 BTU furnace. Now, the same place might have a 40 or 50 or 60,000 BTU furnace.
Half or less then.
Because of better insulation, because of this flu change in the direction of the flu, or what?
Well, the biggest push for a lot of it is cost. If you want efficiency, you want to have a furnace that is, or you want a heating system that is designed for what you need.
Yeah.
The capacity you want, that's what you want to design for, and then you have just a little extra for leeway. Now, if you want to go bigger, which a lot of people say, oh, we want an extra size or two sizes larger, well, if you're going to pay extra money for a higher efficiency unit, you want to have the exact size that you need, because you lose efficiency if you go too big.
Mm-hmm.
It can't work within its design, and you end up paying extra for having an efficient furnace, and then you pay extra because it's the wrong size, and you aren't getting your efficiency, and then you're annoyed, well, we're not getting the efficiency you promised. Well,
yeah.
Apparently there's something wrong. You know, look at the paperwork. Boy, it says this. Okay, what size do you have? Well, this. Well, what size do you need? Well, we needed this, but we want. Oh, okay.
So, Bob, in a normal routine, if you were going to check out a furnace, say I called you to come and service my furnace, how long, you know, barring that it's just a matter of routine preparation for the winter time, how long are we talking of a service call?
1 hour max.
1 hour.
Is usually about all it takes.
Yeah.
The first couple of things, now some of these things the homeowner can do. You want to make sure that you have clean filters. If you have a belt drive, which I don't know if there are too many blowers on the newer furnaces anymore that have a belt on them. But if you turn your power off, open up your panel where your belt is.
Uh-huh.
Or your motor. Or your blower. You can reach in through there, and you can find out where the motor pulley is and where your fan pulley is. And then you go halfway. You like, span your fingers on both sides of the pulley,
mm-hmm.
and you try and go back and forth until you get to approximately the middle between both pulleys.
Okay.
And then you just squeeze your thumb and your index finger together. That belt should have a play of an inch and a half without hardly any trouble.
Really?
That is the maximum play. If you take that belt and you can push it together, you know, and it's really easy, hey, the bottom line is you need a belt, but if it's that much play in it, you probably need a smaller belt.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of things that go in for common sense. If you start your fan just to listen to it, if your furnace is kind of making a modulating noise without actually having your burner on, chances are that is a crack or a bad spot on your belt. That is what you're hearing is the consequence noise going into resonance on that bad spot going around the pulley.
Yep.
So it's just a matter of listening. Common sense and listening to something has a lot to do with some of this stuff. You can tell if something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, someone say, well, oh, this is bad. Well, yes, I know. Okay, you know, let's take a look at it. And as long as you have your, you know, once you check your filter, your blower wheel is usually in the same compartment as your filter.
Okay.
And then you can, if the blower is mounted directly onto the motor, you can take the motor and you can kind of push the shaft back and forth into the motor or pull it out away from the motor.
Mm-hmm.
You usually have a little bit of play.
But not much.
Not very much at all.
Well, anymore, Bob, are there still pilot lights you have to fool with, or most of these like igniters now, most of the units that you deal with? Or did you ever have to, you know, go light people's pilot lights? Or?
Yes. They had, the older ones had a thermocouple, which sensed the pilot light being on. And if you get a real windy day or something, you get a downdraft, depending on how the chimney is on the house.
I remember that.
Yeah.
And it blows the pilot out. You don't have any heat. You have to turn on, you know, and if it's a gas unit, you have to turn the gas valve, almost all of them, off now.
Yeah.
And you have to leave them set for a couple minutes before you can turn it back to the pilot position to relight them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with the oil furnace, you have the igniter, so there's not a problem with that. Usually you only have the pilots on the gas.
It's an electric sort of outfit.
Yes.
Yeah.
On as of probably about 8 years ago, there was only one model that was made anymore by most manufacturers that even had a pilot on.
Yeah.
Pilots are basically out. It was one of the things that they, depending on consumption on the size of the furnace, a pilot could use up to 10% of the gas that you were using.
Yeah, and you always smell that gas in the pilot. I hate it.
Oh, yeah, pilot was
awful.
Bad. Yeah, it would have had to have been an efficiency consideration because, I mean, think of all the ones an average household would have, hot water heater, stove, cook stove, and furnace.
A lot of wasted gas.
Man.
Yep. Those buggers burn all year round, and yet you're not getting anything from it, so you're sending your heat right up the flue.
What a waste.
So they've limited. If you want them, you really... It's almost to the point where you have to request one with the pilot, if that's what you want.
So your recommendation would be once a year to have someone come out, or every year? I guess being an air conditioning man, heating man, you'd say every year, wouldn't you?
Well, I would like to say every year. But if everything is done the way it should be done, for the first, if you have a, let's say you have a new one put in, you really don't need it checked for couple years.
Yeah.
It's nice to have the gentleman that you purchased it from or had installed it or whatever come and check it, you know, once in the first 5 years or something. After 5 years, then you're starting to where you might want to have it checked once every other year.
Mm-hmm.
There again, if he does his job once every 3 years, and if he has, like most people have a laptop that they take along with them, they keep a track record of what is going on. They can take a reading on what your furnace has done electronically, and this all goes into the memory. You call them up. Hey, we have a problem. The guy fires it up. Hey, we got a track record here. We replaced a belt or a thermocoupler, or we adjusted the efficiency. You know where he should know in what direction your furnace is going. If he took any temperature readings on the air temperature going in and the air temperature going out, they all have ratings now on how much the temperature rise should be.
Mm-hmm.
There again, if all of these readings are taken as he's servicing, he knows that your system is slowly going down or something might be wearing out, and he will know what is wearing out, and he can tell you. So if you need a repair or something, you know, hey, don't worry about it this year, but next year, before we get into it, rather than have an accident, why don't we replace this piece?
Mm-hmm.
There are certain things which are designed to go bad. And that is planned obsolescence. They all have it. It's just a matter of get over the idea and let's get with the program, and you won't have to do without your heat.
Well, you're on the blind handyman list. I see posts from you all the time on the list. So
if
anybody else had a question, they could email you there on the list and get a question answered about most anything else, couldn't they?
Yes, I would be willing to answer anybody's question on things they have. But I know that recently there was a gentleman who was concerned about his furnace being large enough.
Yeah,
there again, before you go doing any replacing, you want to make sure that whatever you get is going to be sized for exactly what you need. Because then, bottom line is, you're going to be happy with what you get.
And you're going to be warm in the winter and cool in the summer.
Yes.
That's what you want.
One of the things I had found is you go to a customer's place, and the first thing they do is say, this thing has never worked right.
Yeah.
And I think to myself, well, apparently there is something wrong here, and the first thing I have to think of is the system is probably too large.
Too big, or maybe too small if it's actually
too small, a lot of times they'll be tickled pink with it.
Yeah, because the electric bill's low, I suppose. Huh?
Well,
yeah.
There again, they're getting an exceptional high efficiency operation.
Yeah.
To where if it's too big, the only thing they're looking at is they're spending bucks and they aren't happy.
Yeah.
And the thing will break down all the time.
Yeah. Well, we are out of time, but we're going to go and probably we'll check with you in the spring again and let you tell us what to do. As you said, the springtime is the optimum time to do this.
Yes.
So we're going to run you by again in the spring, 2 or 3, 4 months from now, and let you tell us exactly what we should do in the spring. How would that be?
That sounds good.
And you'll be on the handyman list if anybody has any more questions about their heating or air conditioning. It's wonderful to have an expert on the list, somebody who really knows what they're talking about.
I'm also on the one of the other lists that some of the members here are also belong to. So.
Well, we need you on our list, and you're welcome to join any list you want. We have we're glad to have
glad
somebody
to have
who knows
you.
What they're talking about.
Well, I'll tell you what, I have enjoyed being on this list.
Well, thank you very much. We've enjoyed having you on
you
our
have.
Show. This will be on Friday night. If you tune in ACB Radio, you can hear your melodious voice coming right back to you through the computer.
You can.
I don't want to get a swell head.
All right, stay warm, Bob.
Thank you, Bob. We'll talk with you in a day or two. More of the Blind Handyman Show in just a second. Do you remember?
Famous and Andy!
Barry Craig, confidential investigator.
Old Venture, Box 13.
Captain Midnight,
the cavalcade of America.
Kondo, the magician.
The incomparable Charlie Chan.
The Cisco Kid.
Dangerous assignment.
Dimension X.
Dragnet.
If you love old-time radio, point your browser to
www.otrcat.com.
You'll find thousands of old-time radio shows just waiting for you, and the price is right.
That's www.otrcat.com.
From Amos and Andy to X-1, this is The Source.
www.otrcat.com.
The Blind Handyman. Blind Handyman, all lowercase, one word at hotmail.com. That's Blind Handyman at hotmail.com.
Contact information.
Blind like me. Blind like me, lowercase, all one word at txucom.net. That's Blind like me at txucom.net.
Contact information.
Blind Handyman listserv. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. That's Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com.
Contact information.
Blind Handyman at hotmail.com. Blind like me at txucom.net. Blind Handyman dash subscribe at yahoogroups.com. Email us often and give us your opinion. If you'd like to be a guest on one of our shows, give us your
contact information.
If Jack Gardner were here, he'd say, there'll be more of the... How does he talk? He has a really good radio voice. I can't do him, but he would. If he was here, he'd introduce somebody. I don't know who he'd introduce. Don Patterson, probably.
Was
going to tell us about...
I want to talk about my tractor.
Wait a minute. First of all, you have to tell us about those...
Oh, about the
yellow jackets.
Well, all right. The warden and I went out back to the place... Back to our little four-acre plot. We call it Bear Claw, by the way. It's a little inside.
There's
a reason for that. We'll get around to that one of these times. Anyway, so we went armed with our... We were both double-handed, double-barreled cans of aerosol bee-killing solution.
Yeah.
And we went out early in the morning. They say to catch them, you know, right at daybreak, 6:30 in the morning, which is around here now.
Yep.
And you could catch them in their hives, like, or late in the evening...
Yeah.
You could
the hive. You're in the hive.
Yeah.
You sound like.
Sounds like we're in the.
Sounds like
we're in the hive.
Oh, when is Tom coming back? Can you call Tom now, Shaw? Can you get him on the phone? Let's see if we can latch him, and maybe he can tell us.
I wonder. It kind of sounds like we're in the yellow jacket hive.
It does.
Well,
anyway,
and so we went armed with our aerosol cans, and lo and behold, nothing. We could not find them. We couldn't stir them up. We couldn't hear anything. They say when they're swarmed, all bunched up in their hive or down in the grounds, actually where they live. You could hear them sometimes, you know, at that time of day, and that's the time to get them. And either like one of these purchased aerosol things or diesel fuel, you know, gasoline's a little dangerous because of it. It's so explosive, or diesel's not so doesn't have such a high flash point. Of course, these things kill on contact. But anyway, so far it's the case of the missing yellow jackets now.
In other words, you can't find them.
We cannot find them to destroy them, and I'm afraid one day that I'm out there, they may find me.
Yeah.
You can't mean it.
I don't know.
It could happen.
So anyway, so far, we don't know where they are.
No, we don't know. You know, the bulldozer guy that encountered them could have damaged their thing so badly that they went on, you know.
Or maybe not.
Or maybe not. So that's the thing. But so far,
unknown.
And I mean, this is in lieu of, you know, still the option of hiring a professional, somebody, to go out there and search them out. But
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Happy
mm-hmm.
hunting.
I mean, might sacrifice the family pet first, though, before I pay the...
Well, I think you've already done that. Listen.
What a deal, man.
You know, the warden, she's fearless. And so, like I say, she marched off troop down there with her boots on and her jeans and, armed with her cans of aerosol.
If one of those things had gotten her, she wouldn't have been too fearless. Anyway, tell us about... Don has bought a new tractor, and while this wouldn't be totally blind-friendly, if you're partial-sighted, and we have lots of those, this is a very neat thing to have. Isn't it?
I love anything. You know, I love things with motors on them. Anyway, I have a little moped that I play around with, a little two-cycle engine. And so since we purchased the 4 acres, I wanted something that would not just a lawnmower. That's the problem with your little subcompact or garden tractors. They call them garden tractors, and that gets the guy, and the city slicker comes down there. And really all they are riding lawnmowers. You got it. But and expensive, and
they
all they will. Well, this little guy, and I'm gonna say good things about Kubota because I've researched them, but I don't work for Kubota. I'm not trying to sell Kubota tractors, but it is truly a subcompact tractor. It has every. It's not much bigger than your standard. I think Phil has a large Craftsman riding mower, and my little tractor has the same size tires. It stands a little taller, the profile.
Yeah.
But this is a regular 3-point hitch. It has hydraulic up and down lift. It has PTOs, front, mid, and rear.
What's a PTO?
It's power takeoff. It's where you can run attachments, implements, such as anything that's shaft-driven. You can run a bush hog, aside from the fact that this one has a belly mower, a mid-mount mower, they call them.
Mm-hmm.
This one also you can run, I bought it primarily for the mower capabilities, and it will operate a small post-hole digger.
And a bush hog.
And how about a front-end blade?
This little tractor, as small as it is, it weighs about 1,300 pounds. With this, it can handle it's made for it, a front-end loader. If a guy was wanting, I don't really know that I, talking about vision being a limitation, I don't know that I see well enough to do a backhoe or front-end loader. But like a post-hole thing or with my bush hog. And I even I have a trailer with a ramp, which I purchased, and I was able to back up the tractor on the trailer myself and get it all
there. A front-end loader, you got enough vision to do that.
Well, a lot of things are so obscured when you have that front-end loader. There's times that you really can't see, you know. So let's just say my lack of experience in that area and vision, that would be something I might want to tackle.
Have a front-end loader within a year. You want to bet me? You care to bet? That's a big pile of rocks.
Or a blade or something,
If you need these rocks moved, if I had a front-end loader, I could just hoist those right up and move them right over here. That's where you want them, isn't it, baby?
Good.
It's only $750.
I'm going to put up, quite a bit of fence. And so I've looked at both the standalone, one-man, gasoline-powered post-hole digger or a tractor mount. And the tractor mount, and they're, believe it or not, within $100 of the same price of each other.
Well, if you've got the tractor, there's no reason not to have the tractor.
There's no reason not to have that attachment. Not necessarily blind friendly, but partially sighted friendly. And I love it. I've always wanted a tractor. So
we have many partially sighted listeners, and so
our attorney guy that does his own car maintenance. You know, it's just kind of fun to have something that'll go and
something with a
some
motor.
Machinery with a motor. You know,
I'll tell you this: when I was young, before I started losing my hearing. And my hearing loss is not so bad that I can't do things. But before I lost my hearing, I think I could have driven one. I think I would have had no fear going to the baseball field with my little tractor.
Yeah.
Listen to the noise bounce off the sides of the path. I would have driven that tractor to the baseball field and mowed. I swear.
And actually, the diesel tractor, and I've heard them both. I've heard your lawnmower, and I've heard Don's diesel tractor. Uh-huh. And actually, the diesel is a good bit quieter.
I would put me a radio.
Right,
I have done this. We have a baseball field that's probably, 3.5 acres?
At least 3.5 acres.
Yeah.
At least 3. The playing area is probably a good 2.3¾, you know, just the playing area.
So what I have done is put a radio on the table. As you come out of one of the paths, there's a picnic table there. So I set a radio on the picnic table and walked all around over there because I could hear this radio. And
yeah.
It told me where my path was to get back. I'd do the same thing with the tractor. I'd put a loudspeaker of some kind, and I'd drive that tractor.
Yeah.
Even as
drive
it told
around
me.
Over there.
You know,
if you knew
it was obstacle-free, I mean, you could sort of like do it like one of these random lawnmowers, and you'd probably get 80% of it.
You'd get enough to think it'd come over. I used to mow with a pushmower when I was a kid. Mom would come and tell me, George Phillip, here's a play you missed, you know.
Yeah.
A little blind Phil out there. The neighbors made fun of me, but it's all right.
It worked. Right.
Well, you know, I said the first thing a city slicker does when he runs off to the country is gets him a tractor and then chickens. And so the warden has turned thumbs down on chickens.
Yeah, no chickens, huh?
But in a year or so, you'll
have chickens.
Well, you don't eat chickens.
No, I don't eat chickens. And there's always some kind of varmint getting your chickens. I've had them before.
You don't eat chickens. If you ate chickens, you'd probably have them out there. Maybe cattle would be more your thing, a hamburger.
I think it's restricted. I don't think we can have any barnyard type animals.
No pigs, huh? No hogs.
I'm going to pass the obvious lamp. So, listen, we've made one without Tom. Tom, we miss you. Bless your heart. Come back and see us.
I think he's really sitting outside drinking
and
beverages and laughing at us.
Probably so.
Anyway, good little show. Thanks, Don Pat. Show 50. Thank you, sir, for coming. And John Shawn.
It was a good show. Good shot.
I'm Phil Park. Tom will be back next week.
We hope.
One of y'all will have to run his grandbaby to the doctor because I'm not running the board again. I hate it.
Fire up the Kubota.
I'll be there.
All right, guys. We'll see you next week. The Blind Handyman. I see, said the blind man as he picked up his hammer and saw. Blind Handyman, produced by Auto Market Productions in the Little Ranch House Recording Studio on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. 936-634-9500.